Before we get started, good morning, everybody, by the way. Before we get started, that song and the anthem of that song, the heart of that song, which is, I'm desperate for you and I'm lost without you. If that is your anthem, if you can relate to that and resonate with that, then you fit here. Then you belong here at Hope City. From the very first dream / vision that the Lord implanted into my heart, one of the understood, felt, experienced, communal things was that this church would understand it desperately needed the Holy Spirit of God just to make it. And if that is you, if you are in that place where you know without the Holy Spirit of God, you're lost, you have no hope, if that is you, then you are in the right place. Amen? That is what Hope City was to be from the very beginning, was people without pretense, without acting like we have it together, without pretending like we're perfectly smooth or spiritually whatever. We're growing in the Lord and we desperately need the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? That's who we are. So anyway, worship team, I thank you. If you feel that, if something resonates within you, then I just want to tell you, you certainly fit here. It's good to see everybody. Happy 2026. Happy New Year, everyone. It's a good year and very thankful for it. I want to thank Eric Hermanson, who shared last week about changing your mind, changing your future. I don't think Eric is here this morning. Is he? Where is he? Dude, you are here. Bro, can we give Eric a big round of applause and love? Dude, thank you. That was a super, really good, timely message. Changing your mind and changing your future. I want to begin with the passage that Eric focused on this morning. And then one more thing, and then I'll be letting you know where we're going to be going this morning. Actually, Eric, we're going to do part two of Change Your Mind, Change Your Future. Is that okay with you? I didn't ask permission, but okay. So we're going to be in, we're just going to start in Romans and then we're going to move to a different book. But this idea of how much of life flows from our thought life, that really nailed me in a good way last week. That so much of my life flows from how I think. That as I think, therefore, many times I am. As I think, therefore I do. As I process how and what I think about has this overwhelming impact upon how I live. And so we need to be people that are thinking, I love the way you put it, Eric, that are thinking about what we're thinking about. We don't just let our minds just go. It's not a free for all in our head. We control our minds. We take our thoughts captive. We think about what we choose to think about. Amen? So we're going to become more thoughtful. And I really appreciated that a lot last week, Eric. So Romans 12, 1 and 2, this was the passage Eric really zeroed in on. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word transformed, we get our word metamorphosis. It's this idea that it's like the changing from a caterpillar to a butterfly, same thing, but radically different thing, that we are in the process of being transformed into the newness of who we are in Christ. And so there's this metamorphosis that is constantly taking place. And so much of that starts in the way we think. If we think correct, good, godly, holy thoughts, we will start walking out this transformation, this metamorphosis that God designed us to walk out. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The only other thing I want to share from last week is wisdom from the doily. Wisdom from the doily. I'd never heard that before, Eric, ever. I didn't know doilies could be wise. But this was impactful for me. So this came from a doily that Eric saw. It says this: your thoughts become your words. Your words become your actions. Your actions become your habits. And your habits become your character. And character is everything. That's worth putting on a doily. I can't stand doilies. For those of you who like doilies, God bless you. I'll pray for you. But I think doilies are just about the worst. Can I? Anybody else? Amen on that? Okay. Sorry for the rest of you doily lovers. They're not the worst. They're second worst. But Eric, do you know where that? I could not find out where that came from. It's sort of. I think it's kind of evolved. Is that what you found too? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't either. So I looked for that this week. So we don't know where this came from, but I think it's worth thinking about this idea that how we think flows to become the character, the person that we are becoming. And you're going to see some of that in today's passage as well. So after last Sunday morning, had a couple of days, and then on New Year's Day, Thursday, I went on a silent retreat. And this is something I've done for the last probably 25 years. I go once or twice a year. I go find a place out in the woods, and it's just myself and Jesus and the Word and whatever else God has for me in this very, very quiet place. And it is very silent by definition. And it's just me and God and His creation. There are wonderful parts of that. Like for some of you to say it's silent, you'd think, whoa, man, I think I would die to go to heaven. But I will tell you that it is really silent. It is really silent. But in that silence, the Lord is loud. So it takes, for Mark, it takes the silence of the woods or the water or the cabin. It takes the silence of that for God's voice to be loud. Now that, you know, His voice is many things. His voice is so comforting at times, isn't it? His voice is so comforting. It's so calming. His voice is so loving. It's so gracious. It's so, I stand at the door and knock, just open. His voice is so, I want to put a balm on that long-term hurt in your life. Just let me in. Just let me into that corner that you don't want anybody to go into. I want to be that for you. And then His voice is also corrective. It's corrective. And when you go away for a few days and it is extremely quiet, you either go nuts or you come face to face with whatever God has for you. I'll just tell you, after 25 years of doing these, I do not run my own silent retreats. If I did, I'd run them different. But you come face to face with the God who loves you and passionately cares for you more than anything else in all of creation. And at times, wants to do some heart work, wants to do some life work. This year's silent retreat was the Lord. It was many things. It was all of those things I shared. I go away for about 3 nights, 4 days. I just drove back in this morning. Beautiful sunset coming in my rearview mirror. Takes many days just to slow down, so I usually go for about that amount of time. And there was all of the wonderful and comfort and love and grace. And I worshiped and I sang and I spent time in the Word. But I think primarily God wanted me to leave some things that were defining a part of what Mark's life was in 2025. He wanted me to leave some stuff. So I left it at your cabin, Christy. Sarah, it's there. The Brillas graciously opened up their cabin. Left all my junk there. You may want to pray before you enter in. No, I think the Lord wanted to, you guys know what I'm talking about? The Lord wanted to do something in me, to have me leave something that was a part. It was a part of 2025, and he didn't want it to be a part of 2026. And that was painful. That was a bit painful. That was a bit humbling. That was a bit repentant. There were some tears. I'm not going to lie to you about that. I realized some things. I'd been toying and playing with some things that I had no right to. Maybe not all out straight up sin, but just messing in some areas that I just don't need to mess in. Do you guys know what I'm talking about at all? Can I be that vague? Just some stuff that wasn't holy living. You know, if everybody saw every part of Mark's life in 2025, God said, what if everybody saw every part of your life, Mark, in 2025? I said, well, I wouldn't be too pleased about that. He said, I want you to live in 2026 so that any person can see every part of your life and you will have nothing to be ashamed of. I want you to live in a way and talk in a way and interact in a way so that there is nothing, nothing that you would have to be ashamed of, nothing that you couldn't open up your world and your life. He said, Mark, that's what I'm looking for in 2026. So he brought me to Ephesians chapter 4. So we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. This was helpful. He brought me to many places, by the way, during this time, but this was helpful. I hope this is helpful for you. If you have any of those places in your heart, in your life, in your mind, in your words, in your attitudes, in your actions, if you have any of those places that you think, I just feel like I need to leave this in 2025, I want to tell you that you serve the God who is gracious and powerful enough to give you the strength to leave it in 2025. You serve that God. You need to carry nothing with you into 2025. Nothing. Nothing that is not of Him. It is a fresh start. He is doing a new thing. Olivia, I'm so glad you brought up that passage from Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. I was just about going to use that, and I heard you read it, and he says, behold, I am doing a new thing. I am doing a new thing, and the waters won't overwhelm you. The waters will cleanse you, and the fire will not consume you. The fire will refine you. See, that's what I felt like I was going through. It was the waters and the fire, but it wasn't consuming and overwhelming me. It was cleansing and refining me. That's what His water and His fire does, is it cleanses us and refines us and prepares us for the service and the work and the love. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 17. There's so much before this, but we're just going to jump right in, okay? Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. Our mindset is to be nothing like the world's. Our mindset, the way we think, what we think, how we think, is to be radically different than the world's. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. Look at this. Look at what a hardened heart does to a mind. A hardened heart makes your mind futile. You can't think the way you were designed to think if you have a hardened heart. Your mind is darkened. You can't see properly with a hardened heart. You are alienated from the life that God designed you to live when you have a hardened heart. A hardened heart affects everything, and only God can take a heart of stone and turn it into a heart of flesh. But when he takes a heart of stone and makes it into a heart of flesh, now you can think and live and move and love the way you were always designed to from the beginning. The life of God can now be lived in you. Our hearts can get kind of hardened even as Christians. We have to be very careful of this. We have a heart of flesh. If we are in Christ, we have a heart of flesh. But just like a real heart, infection can come into a real heart that is beating and can cause sort of a hardening of that heart. It's not a permanent, it's not death, but it's a hardening of the heart. And we need to be very careful, even as followers of Jesus, that no hardness of heart sneaks into us. Hurt can do that. Wounds can do that. Offenses can do that. Sin can do that. Shame can do that. Wrongs of many sorts can do that. It can start to harden even a softened breathing, beating. We want a healthy heart so that we can think properly. But he's talking about the world here. They have become callous and have given themselves over to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. This is what not to do. This is not how a believer is designed to live. This is not us. This is not us, Hope City. We are not of the world. We're not. This is not how we're supposed to think. It's not how we're supposed to act. It's just not. Okay, verse 20. And he says this, but that is not the way you learned Christ. The impurity, the hardening, the darkening, that's not how you learn Jesus. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. If you are still only and ever, if you are not in a battle over your thought life, over your heart, if you are not in a battle, then you need to question, is the truth even in you? You just need to ask that question. If there is no battle, then you have to ask the question, then is that, that's what Paul is doing right here. He's just asking the question. If there is no battle and you have never learned that you are to think differently, then just ask the question, well, is Christ then even really in me? Be willing to ask the question. If there is no battle, then the question deserves to be asked. I'd rather ask the question than have you assume you're in Christ when you're not. Please, amen. We ask the question, if there is a battle going on in your thought life, if you know that you are battling and there is this raging, then that is a good sign that you are in Christ, because dead people don't battle. Alive people battle. So if you are in Christ, you're gonna resonate with this battle over your mind and your thoughts. The battle doesn't mean you're not saved. It probably likely means you are. If there's no battle and you're just giving into your thoughts and you're just greedy for more impurity and this is just how you're living, man, just ask the question. And if you answer the question honestly and say, I don't even think Christ is in me, well, let me tell you what, praise Jesus, you're in a good spot this morning. Come on, give me a hallelujah on that one. You can be saved today by the blood of the cross. today by the blood of the cross, you can be saved. So even if your heart is a heart of stone, even if your mind is darkened, even if there's no battle going on, submit today, trust today in what Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross, who he is, paying for your sin debt in full, and you will be saved. And your heart will turn from stone to flesh. But that's not how you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as a truth in Jesus. And now he's going to tell us what to do, to put off your old self. If you are in Christ, you put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. So every day we get up and we put off the old self. We take those old desires, those old thoughts. That's not who I am. That's not what I learned in Christ. When we can tell a thought or a desire is unholy, just take it off. Take that off. I'm not going to go down that road anymore. Take those thoughts captive. Change the way you think about those thoughts. I'm not going down that road. That's not who I am. That's not me. That's who I was, but that's not me anymore. So I'm going to take off the old. That's not Mark. It's not. Verse 23, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. That sounds exactly like Romans 12, 2. To be renewed in the spirit of your minds. See, we're in this process, this metamorphosis of mindset. When you sense an old thought coming in, wait a minute, stop. Take that thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That is not who I am. Set it over there. I'm being renewed in the spirit of my mind. I am going to walk now in newness of life because that is no longer who I am. The mindset changes. I am no longer defined by my sin. I am no longer controlled by my sin. I am no longer held captive in bondage to my sinful ways, thoughts, attitudes, words, actions. None of it. I have been set free in Jesus Christ. So that's the mindset. I am no longer a slave. I am now a son and a daughter. And then verse 24, he says, and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So we take off the old, we renew our minds, we put on the new self, and that new self is in the likeness of Christ. Righteousness, which means justice and right decisions and equity and all of those things. And then holiness, which means to be set apart and sanctified and different. We are to be different than the world in how we think and how we talk and how we act. We are to be different. We're not to be arrogant jerks. Can I get an amen? We're to be whimsical. We're to be gentle and gracious. We're to be very careful with our words. But we are to be different. We are to be different. And we are created in the likeness of God. Think of that. We are being created and recreated in the very likeness of God in righteousness and holiness. Okay. Now, this next part, we're going to go through this kind of quickly because these next few verses, he is actually going to give us six very practical ways. Take off the old, put on the new, be renewed in the likeness in the image of God. Six ways. I got a feeling at least one of these will hit at least one person in this room. I just have a feeling. That's my hope, my prayer. You guys, I wanted this to be so helpful. And I think this is where this practically gets helpful. I'm going to go through these fairly quickly. Okay, six practical tips. Renewing our mind, thinking differently, taking off the old self, putting on the new self. And this is what it looks like, six tips. And these just go in order of the verses now following. Verse 25 in Ephesians 4. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. This is so culturally crazy that we even have to say this. Stop lying. Stop lying. If you are in Christ, stop lying. Not little lies, not big lies, not lies you think aren't going to hurt anybody, not any, just stop lying. To put on the new self, to be renewed in my mind, I cannot be renewed in the image of God, who is the way, the truth, and the life. I cannot be renewed into his image if I keep lying. Just stop lying. You're members of the body of Christ. Speak truth with each other. Stop lying, Hope City. Be gracious in the way you speak truth. Speak truth in love, but speak truth. Our culture is so used to lying. Lying is not a problem unless you get caught. That is the norm in our culture. Lying is no longer really a problem unless you get caught or there's a consequence for said lie. That is not God's standard. God's ethic is lying is wrong because he is truth. He is. Okay, that's number one. Number two, verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Second thing, handle your anger well. Manage your anger. Don't let your anger manage you. We are all going to get angry. Some of you are angry at me right now. Praise Jesus for that. I'm okay with that. We must manage our anger well, because when we don't, we're playing into the devil's hands. The devil loves it when we let our anger run rampant. He loves it. He's like, oh, yes, I'm going to get them angry. They're not going to deal with their anger well. Guess what? I win. The devil loves mismanaged anger. He loves it. Because and we're going to see in just a minute, a little later on, we're going to see what anger starts producing. Be angry. Anger is not a sin. Anger is an emotion. He's saying you can't be angry, but don't sin in your anger. So don't act in a way that is not who you are based in your anger. Don't let your thoughts go crazy based on what you think because of your anger. Don't let your words, your actions, your deeds, your thoughts. Be angry. Manage your anger well. Deal with it quickly. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Deal with it quickly between you and the Lord. Get to that place where you've dealt with that anger, at least between you and the Lord. Deal with that anger, because anger left unchecked is the devil's playground. Number three, let the thief no longer steal. Some people think that this is referring to the devil in verse 26, but it's not. You'll see in context. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. It's crazy that we have to say this, you guys, but stop stealing stuff. Stop stealing stuff from work. If anything is not yours, don't take it. Don't steal stuff from stores. If somebody gives you extra change, go bring it back. If somebody doesn't charge you enough, go back and tell them. If you get a free whatever that you didn't have, a free whatever coming, go discuss that with them. Stop stealing. If an account isn't yours on Roku, now, look up all the rules, do all of that. But if it's not yours to use, stop using it. Stop stealing. Some of those you can use, by the way, family and friends. We looked into that one a little bit, and you can do some of that. But just make sure you know what you're doing. Stop stealing. And then he's saying the antidote to stop stealing is work hard. Be hard workers so that you can then live generosity. Stop stealing stuff. Work hard. If you work hard, you'll have enough. And then you not only have enough, but you're able to be generous with other people that might need a little blessing from time to time. Stop stealing. Doesn't matter what it is. Work hard. Be generous. That's number three. Number four. Everybody take a big deep breath here. Verse 29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. No corrupting talk. I did some Greek study this week. I looked up that word no. You know what that means in the Greek? None. It means none. You know what the word corrupting means? Useless. Don't let useless, corrupt talk come out of your mouth. Do you know how silent our homes would be? Do you know how many fewer words there would be? And then the Bible says, be slow to speak and be quick to listen. And if we just stop the useless chatter, and not only useless, but the corrupting words. This doesn't mean that you don't do it at church, but then when you get home with your safe people, then you do it with your safe people. There's no asterisk here, Hope City. There is no such thing as a safe person to share corrupting talk. Can I get an amen? Because there is no corrupting talk that is to come out of our mouths. If you need to process with someone, totally you need to process with that. Guard your words so carefully. Guard your words. If you need to talk about things and counsel with people and let people know where you're at, but if your words are harmful, useless, corrupt, then he's saying just keep them in. Keep them in. Talk less. And then he says, here's actually what your words are supposed to be used for. They are to be good words to build others up that are appropriate for the occasion that you're speaking them in, so that they may give grace to everyone who hears your words. Hope City, that is how we are to speak with each other, within our little family units. That is how we are to speak to our children. That is how we are to speak to our parents. That is how we are to speak to our friends. That is how we are to speak to our coworkers. That is how we are to speak online. That is how we are to speak via text. That is how we are to speak in emails. That is how we are to speak everywhere. Am I reading that right? Is that what that is saying? Do we need to confess and repent of how we have used our words? Mark does. Mark does. Number five. And this verse 30 is connected to the one before. It's tied to the one before and it's tied to the one after. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not make sad God's Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. When our words are corrupt, when our words are harmful, when our words are careless, it makes the Holy Spirit of God sad. See, the Holy Spirit is, remember, the third person of the Trinity. He has a personality. He hurts. And what's surrounding this hurting, grieving of the Holy Spirit is our words. Our words are what surrounds, sandwiches the grieving of the Holy Spirit of God. Do our words matter? Oh, Hope City, they matter so much. I know I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I know you don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit, and none of us are ever going to be perfect. But can we get better, Hope City? Can we get better? Can we be more careful? Can we be more selective? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness. Now you're going to see an inside to outside with anger smack right in the middle of this process. You're going to see what happens when we are offended or hurt or wounded or wronged. You're going to see what happens, and it starts on the inside and it works to the outside. And this is also part of the grieving of the Holy Spirit of God. Let all bitterness inside, wrath mostly inside, anger starting to come out, clamor, now I'm talking about it, slander, now I'm putting somebody else down because of it, put it all away from you along with all malice, now I have evil intent for my words. Look at that. Do you see that process? Look at it again. It starts in here and it works its way straight out to words that are corrupt and useless and harmful, the exact opposite of how our words are supposed to be. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander be put away from you, along with all malice. See, the Holy Spirit of God who sealed us, He is our seal guarantee. He is the one that He is the signet ring seal guarantee upon our hearts that God, when He looks down upon us and He sees His Spirit, He says, that one is mine. For the day of redemption, that one is mine. So the Holy Spirit now lives inside of us, dwells inside of us, has sealed us with Himself as a guarantee that we are His kids and we are going to be with Him forever. And He's saying, my kids, watch your words, because your words matter. They matter to me. They matter to me. Number six, our final one, then we're going to have a time of communion. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Let kindness reign. Let forgiveness be a discipline, an act, something that I live in. I live in the world of forgiveness, and my motivation is the cross of Jesus Christ. I have been forgiven of every sin that I have ever committed. I didn't deserve it. I didn't even ask for it when I was forgiven. I was forgiven because Christ forgave me on the cross. And now, as simply a reflection of that, now I have a tender heart for those who hurt me, who wound me, who wrong me, who say things about me, who do all sorts of manner of junk that I deserve to be angry and bitter and wrathful. I deserve to speak some words against them. I deserve to let people know what they did to me. And Jesus said, what you deserved eternal separation from me. What I gave you was my grace and my love and my salvation. And so now you have eternal life. And now because I've forgiven you of everything upon that cross, now simply reflect me and forgive others of all the junk that they do to you. Yeah. And that's the cross. This is all motivated, Hope City, by the cross of Jesus Christ. We're going to have a time of communion, both sides. If there was anything in this list that sort of hit your heart a little bit, it hit mine. Maybe you could tell it hit mine. It hit mine quite a few of those areas. Have some time with the Lord. You know, communion is not about saying, well, God, from here on out, I'm going to be perfect. Can I get an amen on that? Communion is about saying, Jesus, I could never be perfect. I receive your forgiveness. I remember your forgiveness again. I remember the fact that I could never be this. And now I'm going to proclaim that holiness and goodness of Jesus Christ. I'm going to proclaim that to the world. And now I'm going to strive. Now, because of the newness of life that Jesus paid for, now I'm going to strive to live this new self that God has made me and is making me to be. Does that make sense? Can we do that at communion today? Okay, so worship team, come on up if you would. Pray with me. Again, anything you have to deal with the Lord, understand He's good, He's gracious. And if He wants to do some work in you, just let Him go to town. He's safe. He's safe. And He's good. And He knows us deeply, passionately, intimately. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this day and this time. Lord, I pray that You would continue to commune with us. Lord, we thank You for the cross. Lord, the cross that saves us in every way that we could be saved. God, that cross that motivates us to live now as people who have been set free. Lord, I pray there is no condemnation in this place, because there's no condemnation in You, Christ. Lord, if You want to convict us, then just do that work. Help us to submit to Your conviction or Your discipline or whatever that may be. Lord, if You want to wrap Your arms around us and just love us and comfort us, then Lord, we accept that and all of its goodness too. We just truly submit to what You want to do in this time and this moment. Thank You, Jesus, for Your body that was broken, represented in the bread. Thank You, Jesus, for Your blood that poured out, represented in the cup and the juice. We thank You that we remember these things as a way to never forget that it is not about us being good enough. It is about You doing all of the work, being sufficient to forgive us of all of our sin. And we thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen.